An interesting article about Christianity, or some kind of a form of it, that is catching fire in Silicon Valley with a lot of billionaires. And people like Peter Thiel, for example. And interesting picture there. There's Jesus, kind of parachute pants and a puffy vest, and wearing a virtual reality headset. I don't think Jesus needs VR. Julia Black of The Information just published an article, he says, and he published excerpts from it, about the recent growth of Christianity in the U.S. amongst those in the tech sector, particularly millennials. So, you know, what do the technocrats make of Christianity? And how are they going to spin it and transform it and reinvent it for their purposes? That's, you could also make that the title of the article. How will the technocracy reinvent Christianity? The headline of her article is "The Antichrist and the New Apostles: Why Many in the Tech Field Are Turning to Devout Christianity." I guess you could put devout Christianity in quotes, air quotes here. She attended a worship service at a place called Epic Church in downtown San Francisco. It's also trendy. Oh, yeah, my church is epic. Oh, it really is, yeah. The Sunday she attended, Epic Church was opening a $12 million space just down the street from the headquarters of Pinterest and Airbnb. The pastor of Epic Church reportedly told her, "We really feel called to this particular place and its people." There's a big cash magnet right there. I mean, how many churches have that kind of money to spend? Yeah, when I see that kind of money at a church, I kind of run the other way. But she said that she attended the services as a guest of two of the more prominent people within Epic. Trey Stevens, a Founders Fund partner, and that's Founders Fund, that's Peter Thiel's venture capital fund, and Andrill co-founder. That's what Trey Stevens also did. Andrill is another one of these high-tech military industrial contractors, again, using names from Lord of the Rings, just like Palantir. And, you know, Palantir was got venture capital funding from Peter Thiel. So Andrill as well, and also tied into the Founders Fund, which is something that Peter Thiel did, is recognized. They call these people who made so much money with PayPal. And that's really where Musk got his start as well, to become the world's richest man. They call him the PayPal Mafia, and they call him the godfather of the PayPal Mafia, Peter Thiel, because so many of them, with all the money that they've got, have become investors, venture capital investors in these other companies. His wife, Michelle Stevens, as chief revenue officer at a healthcare software startup. Michelle, she said, told me, "People think church is just for the poor, for the marginalized, for the visibly in need. But the highly rich and famous are just as much in need." Well, that part of it is true. But listen to what she says next and see what you think about this. She then paraphrased a bit of scripture. She said, "It's harder for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle than for a poor man to see God." What? That's kind of a really twisted perspective on, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, which is what Jesus said. But then he finished that up by saying, "But with God, all things are possible." I mean, it is possible for God to save and to work on even these technocrats. It is. And so I'm not judging them and saying that because they're rich, because they're part of this technocracy, that, you know, I don't know what their relationship is with God. Again, that is ultimately for God to decide. It's always difficult doing that. You know, we look at these celebrities that make professions of faith, you know, pray for them, but we don't know if it's sincere or genuine, if they've got some other motives, or if it's something that's just going to be another fad that they're going through. It's really not possible for us to do that. But again, by the same token, it doesn't legitimize our relationship with God to see rich and famous people jump on board. As a matter of fact, it ought to make you kind of question whether or not you're doing the right thing if the rich and famous people are jumping on board. Epic Church is one of the epicenters of a societal shift among the tech elite. More and more Christianity has become a growing constant part in many of their lives. And so then I guess the question is, how do they define the Christianity? The defense tech founders in El Segundo, California, for instance, have adopted a form of muscular Christianity, linking patriotism, masculinity, and athletic discipline with religious moral character. Meanwhile, Peter Thiel has been an ongoing one-man speaking tour about the Antichrist, which he warns is most likely to come in the form of Elon Musk. No, I'm sorry, of a one-world government. Well, here's the thing. As I've said before, you know, we get caught up on eschatology and things like that, but sometimes we kind of miss the simple, straightforward stuff, like don't lie. And I thought about that when I saw this article. I'd just seen this clip about Peter Thiel being asked by Piers Morgan about this shooting of this healthcare executive in the back. And he asked him what he thought about it. And when you watch Peter Thiel, I mean, it's amazing because he stumbles, he goes silent, he's looking around. And you know what he's doing is he is thinking and second-guessing what he's going to say. Well, I could say this, but then how's that going to be taken? But if I said that, this group is going to like me, that one's going to hate me, what do I... And so you can see the wheels, in my opinion, you can see the wheels turning as he's trying to think how he should answer instead of just answering truthfully. And instead of answering from a moral foundation, if he's the person who's going around warning everybody about a coming Antichrist, maybe you ought to get this whole thing about thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not lie. Maybe you ought to work on that part of it before he starts getting into a complicated eschatology.
And to those who think this shooter is a hero, because he did it because he said this healthcare executive was presiding over a healthcare system which kills thousands of Americans by denying them cover, what would you say to them?
Play the Jeopardy music in the background here. Some simple moral principles, isn't it?
I don't know what to say. I still think you should try to make an argument, and I think this is there may be things wrong with our healthcare system, but you have to make an argument, and you have to try to find a way to convince people and change it by that. And this is not going to work. I don't know. Yeah. There are all sorts of things one could say about it, but I don't think, and I think the motives feel, I don't want to go into all the particulars here, but I don't think there's anything heroic about him.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly nothing heroic about that answer. Folks, we have to have some clear guardrails in order to have a society, right? If we've got a society, if we've got a gripe against somebody, even if it's a legitimate gripe, you don't get to go out there and shoot and kill them. Shoot them in the back. Is that hard to say? Audi says Peter Thiel was high as a kite in that interview. He says you could tell that he was terrified of saying the wrong thing. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some clear moral principles here, and these are simple things that have to be there for you to have a society. Why can't he say that? Again, because he's playing games with you, and he's not going to be candid about anything. He's not going to be truthful about it. But he wants to focus on the Antichrist. He wants to talk about eschatology. Pretty amazing. Musk has said, maybe religion's not so bad. Keep you from being sad, he said. Is that really it? Again, when we look at this and when you look at the clear moral principles that are there, makes me think about Jesus and the woman at the well, right? He you know, counters her and something, and he says, you know, they have a little bit of a back and forth about getting water. He talks about living water. She doesn't understand what he's talking about. He said, go get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And he says, you're right. You're living with a man now that you're not married to, but you've had a bunch of husbands. And immediately, what does she do? She said, let's talk about the Antichrist. Essentially, that's what she does. She says, well, you Jews worship God in Jerusalem, but we Samaritans worship him, you know, Mount Gerizim or whatever. But look, you immediately switch over to religious doctrine. Because all that stuff about how you're living your life just gets a little bit too personal. Kind of cuts right into the center. So let's change the topic here. Exactly why Silicon Valley has grown more comfortable with Christianity and religion defies any one straightforward explanation, she said. Many Christians in tech I spoke to seemingly long for any in-person gathering that could offer them escape from a post-pandemic world where much of their life takes place virtually. It's not just post-pandemic, but it is their virtual world where they live. But again, you know, we talk about Peter Thiel as a Christian leader. Again, you know, if somebody is not a disciple, the other day I was talking about that young 20-year-old girl who makes $43 million a year selling her body on OnlyFans. And she said, oh, I'm very much a Christian, and my family are Christians. They had a problem with this at first, but they've come around, you know. Showed them the checks or something. What's the deal? But Jesus said, why you call me Lord and don't do what I say? That's the bottom line. According to this person who wrote the article, most of the people in the tech world attribute the new techno-Christianity movement to Peter Thiel. She said, if there's one person at the center of tech's shift towards Christianity, it's billionaire Peter Thiel, a devout Christian who, like many, many other techno-Christians, doesn't publicly align with any one denomination. Or even with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to put it mildly, okay? Several of the young tech founders told me that he had been influenced by direct conversations with Thiel, as well as his frequent talks on religion and his work, spreading the ideas of theological philosopher René Girard. Again, just like the woman at the well. Let's talk about philosophy. Let's talk about the end times and the Antichrist, but let's not talk about the basics of morality even. In Thiel's religious talks, he often warns against identity politics, wokeness, scapegoating the wealthy, while preaching the techno-optimism and anti-globalism. He also maintains an almost obsessive fixation on the apocalypse and the Antichrist, a biblical villain, this article says, whose arrival signals the end of the world according to the New Testament and depicted in movies like Rosemary's Baby and The Omen as the son of Satan. Well, that's her summary of it. That's kind of funny. Anyway, Peter Thiel, co-founder of PayPal, Palantir, first outside investor in Facebook, and a founder also of Founders Fund, says that he grew up in an evangelical Christian household, but as of 2011, he described his religious beliefs as somewhat heterodox. Yeah, are you in a relationship with God? Well, it's complicated. You've seen that before, right? What is that? Social media, Facebook, I guess, but, you know, relationship. Well, it's complicated. He said, I believe Christianity is true, but I don't sort of feel a compelling need to convince other people of that. That's an interesting way to put it. You know, Penn and Teller, I've told the story before. We went to see them at a performance, and I always liked their humor. I liked the stuff that they were doing. But they decided about halfway through that they were going to attack the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were seated in this, it was like a dinner and a thing. We were seated in this U-shaped thing. We were right smack dab in the center. And what Penn Jillette said was, he said, well, you know, I don't like to use the F word. You know, people use it as every form of speech. They use it as a verb, a noun, an adjective, and all this. He says, I don't use that because it just sounds stupid. It sounds like you don't have any vocabulary. But he goes, I take every advantage I can to blaspheme Jesus Christ and use his name and everything. And then he starts going on and on with this stuff. So we just told everybody, sorry, let us out of here. Everybody at the table. We were right up front. Everybody at the table will get up and we just left. But, you know, when you look at that and his hatred for Christianity, he was approached by a person once. He said, I know where you're coming from. And he goes, and understand, I'm not trying to do this just to, for any reason other than I'm just concerned about you. And he talked to him, and Penn Jillette said, you know, that's the first time I've seen somebody that I really thought was genuinely sincere and in terms of caring about me and my eternal future. He said, most people just come here to throw Bible bricks at me, you know, and tell me I'm going to hell and all the rest of the stuff. He goes, this guy, you know, he said, I appreciate the fact that you seem genuinely concerned and are trying to help me. And I mention that because if Peter Thiel says, I believe Christianity is true, but I don't sort of feel a compelling need to convince other people of that, you have no love for other people that you would tell them of the horrors, if you think it's true, the horrors that await those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you wouldn't tell them that? That's interesting, isn't it? I think that is a very telling thing if you're afraid to talk about that. I think it says something about what you really believe. I think it says that he's afraid of what people are going to think of him, as we just saw there. He can't say that murder is wrong, and he can't say that Jesus Christ is Lord. But he's the epitome of Christianity in Silicon Valley. We're in trouble. You know, you should pray for Silicon Valley people, seriously, just like you pray for those who are in a position of leadership. Not just the prayer from Fiddler on the Roof. Is there a prayer for the czar? Yes, God bless and keep the czar far away from us. That's one of them. But you should also pray for them. Pray for them personally. If their life changes and they move towards God, can you imagine if Trump was a Christian, how things would change? If he was a genuine Christian, all the things in his life and his administration that would change. Same thing about these people, Peter Thiel and these others. Peter Thiel married his longtime partner, Matt Denzison, in October 2017, and they have two young children that they adopted. What would Jesus say to Peter Thiel if he met him at the well? You're not married to that guy. You can't marry another guy. They've been in a romantic relationship. Thiel had been in a romantic relationship with a gay model, Jeff Thomas, since late 2019. Many in their elite homosexual circle told Daily Mail that their romance was an open secret, but it's unclear if Denzison, the guy that was supposedly his married partner, was aware of his husband's infidelity. This guy, this model, Jeff Thomas, died after plunging from a Miami hotel rise last month. He had had a messy confrontation with his husband during the couple's New Year's Eve party after Thomas was discovered among the guests. Thomas was in a 3-year relationship with Peter Thiel, who had put him up in a $13 million mansion tucked in Hollywood Hills, gifted him with lavish European trips, a $300,000 sports car, and access to the most coveted parties in town. But they believe, the circle of friends said, well, maybe he's just depressed because he was confronted with Matt, at a New Year's Eve celebration. He was one of the partygoers of the posh event held at Peter Thiel's Miami Beach compound. Well, here's the deal, right? When King David, committed adultery and then committed murder to cover it up, what did he say? You know, we look at that and we say, well, you know, there's no sin worse than murder. Or is there? You know, the Bible says pride is one of the worst things there. But David said to God, he said, against you and you only have I sinned. And yet there seems to be no no awareness of that. And so when it comes to their pro-life position, as Brian Shalhavi points out, the techno-Christians, pro-life position is to create designer super babies. Yes, eugenics as well as in vitro fertilization. To move us toward the kind of hatcheries described in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Another guy who is totally into the technocracy, and is Aldous Huxley's brother, Julian Huxley, who coined the term transhumanism. And, of course, their father was a pal of Charles Darwin and the people who hung around with him. This is what they're looking at. Billionaires like Sam Altman, Peter Thiel, Brian Armstrong are behind a boom in fertility tech startups developing sophisticated embryonic testing, eugenics, sperm freezing, and even artificial wombs. That's what we're looking at here. And interesting that Donald Trump, who is not only at peace with these people, but has essentially married these people, wedded himself to them, is calling for Congress to mandate free in vitro fertilization coverage. This is the real issue with in vitro fertilization. I mean, there's other things like selective abortions after it happens and that type of thing. But the real concern with a lot of people is that it is a slippery slope to eugenics, a slippery slope to hatcheries and artificial wombs, as described in Brave New World. Trump's plan drew a mix of confusion, skepticism, and opposition from his GOP allies in Capitol Hill, even surprised his own advisors, a source said. Because his advisors are not necessarily these people that he's hired. His advisors are the people who have hired him. You understand the difference? An election is an advance auction of stolen goods. It's also an advance auction of making sure that the regulations are going to disappear, that's going to enable them. That's what we're going to talk about next, the Bitcoin reserve. But Trump's call to mandate free access to in vitro fertilization has puzzled congressional Republicans, drawing a mix of skepticism and outright opposition across the party spectrum from center-right to far-right lawmakers. Some are worried about the high cost of the policy. Others confess that they don't understand what he's proposing to do. And many others understood that this is not appreciated in the pro-life movement. Will they oppose him? I don't see any opposition to Trump. And of course, until he does something, you know, but I see everybody kissing the ring, falling in line.
Hello, it's me, Volodymyr Zelensky. I'm so tired of wearing these same t-shirts everywhere for years. You'd think with all the billions I've skimmed off America, I could dress better. And I could, if only David Knight would send me one of his beautiful gray MacGuffin hoodies or a new black t-shirt with the MacGuffin logo in blue. But he told me to get lost. Maybe one of you American suckers can buy me some at thedavidknightshow.com. And David is giving a 10% discount to listeners from now until 2025. At that price, you should be able to buy me several hundred. Those amazing sand-colored microphone hoodies are so beautiful. I'd wear something other than green military cosplay to my various galas and social events. If you want to save on shipping, just put it in the next package of bombs and missiles coming from the USA.